Foundations in Electrophysiology, 19th Century Pioneers, and the Emergence of Bioelectricity. The origins of quantitative electroencephalography, QEG, are deeply rooted in the broader development of neurophysiology, which emerged as a distinct scientific discipline in the 19th century. This formative period witnessed a pivotal shift from speculative concepts of brain function to empirically based, electrophysiologically informed neuroscience. Central to this transformation were figures such as Carlo Matucci and Emile du Bois-Reymond, who first demonstrated that nerves and muscles generate measurable electrical currents. Their work confirmed that bioelectric phenomena are not incidental but essential to the operation of excitable tissues. Du Bois-Reymond's identification of the negative variation during muscle contraction introduced a dynamic model of bioelectricity that would be extended decades later to cortical activity. At the same time, Leopoldo Nobili's galvanometer, improved by William Thomson, Lord Kelvin, permitted more precise but still limited detection of such currents. These instruments, while groundbreaking, lacked the frequency sensitivity necessary to capture the rapid transient events that define cerebral electrophysiology. Nonetheless, they laid the foundation for time-resolved neurophysiological investigation. Julius Bernstein contributed a theoretical advance with his formulation of the membrane theory, postulating that nerve cells maintained a resting potential through ionic gradients. Although lacking direct experimental support at the time, Bernstein's insights prefigured the ionic basis of action potentials later elucidated by Hodgkin and Huxley. Hermann von Helmholtz, in turn, disproved the prevailing notion of instantaneous neural transmission, demonstrating that action potentials propagate at finite speeds, an essential conceptual step for later event-related electrophysiology. It was in 1875 that Richard Codone offered the first empirical demonstration of cerebral electrical activity, observing spontaneous oscillations from the exposed cortices of animals using a mirror galvanometer. Although his observations lacked graphical records, his findings introduced the principle that the brain emits modifiable electrical signals responsive to sensory and behavioral states. These observations marked the inception of cerebral electrophysiology, establishing that brain activity was dynamic, measurable, and tied to functional state. Parallel work in Eastern Europe significantly extended Codone's findings. Vasily Danilevsky and Adolf Beck independently recorded spontaneous and evoked cortical potentials, identifying rhythmic oscillations that ceased with sensory stimulation, what would later be termed alpha blocking. Beck's recordings, obtained using non-polarizable electrodes in anesthetized animals, were methodologically rigorous and provided early evidence of rhythmic cortical activity. Napoleon Cebulski advanced the field through the development of a photographic galvanometer, enabling the first permanent EEG tracings. Meanwhile, Ernst Fleischl von Marxow claimed priority in detecting brain potentials, although his work lacked the clarity and empirical support found in the studies of Beck and Codone. In Russia, Vladimir Pravdichnominsky succeeded in graphically recording EEG from intact animals using a string galvanometer. In 1912, he coined the term electrocerebrogram and documented regular 12 to 14 Hertz oscillations, identifying them as sensitive to asphyxia. His contributions are considered the first photographic EEG recordings and a precursor to modern human EEG. While these experimental advances laid the groundwork for modern EEG, a major theoretical dispute simultaneously shaped the neuroscientific landscape. This was the debate between network theories of brain organization and the emerging neuron doctrine. In the 19th century, German anatomists such as Joseph von Gerlach and Camillo Golgi proposed the reticular theory, positing that the nervous system consisted of a continuous, fused network. Golgi's silver staining techniques, while transformative, supported this interpretation. In sharp contrast, Santiago Ramon y Cajal, utilizing the same staining methods with greater interpretive acumen, demonstrated that neurons are discrete cells that communicate via specialized junctions, later termed synapses. Cajal's neuron theory would ultimately prevail, forming the conceptual basis for all subsequent cellular neuroscience and electrophysiology. This shift from network to neuron models had profound implications, especially for cortical electrophysiology, which depends on understanding spatially and functionally distinct neuronal populations. Complicating this theoretical divide was the parallel debate on cerebral localization. Researchers such as Friedrich Goltz and H. Rothman adhered to holistic models, performing extensive ablation studies to demonstrate that cognitive functions were distributed rather than localized. However, the electrical stimulation studies of Gustav Fritsch, Eduard Hitzig, David Ferrier, and G. F. Yeo indicated that motor and sensory functions could be mapped onto discrete cortical areas. These findings suggested a topographic organization of the cortex, a premise that would be confirmed and refined through later electrophysiologic mapping and eventually via EEG. During this intellectually dynamic period, Charles Scott Sherrington emerged as a dominant figure in British neurophysiology. In his influential text, The Integrative Action of the Nervous System, Sherrington described reflex arcs, reciprocal inhibition, and decerebrate rigidity, concepts central to modern motor control theory. Although he contributed extensively to understanding synaptic transmission and introduced the term synapse itself, Sherrington largely eschewed electrophysiological recording techniques, focusing instead on anatomical and ablation models. His vivid metaphor of the cortex as an enchanted loom illustrated his intuitive grasp of dynamic neural networks. The great topmost sheet of the mass becomes now a sparkling field of rhythmic flashing points, a shifting harmony of subpatterns. This poetic description of awakening cortical activity foreshadowed what EEG would later quantify, though Sherrington underestimated the active neural complexity of sleep. His students, Edward Liddell and Derek Denny Brown, extended his influence in reflex physiology, but also maintained skepticism toward the clinical applicability of EEG. Meanwhile, in Cambridge, Edgar Douglas Adrian would emerge as one of the earliest and most influential advocates for electrophysiological recording. Hans Berger and the birth of human EEG. It was within this evolving scientific context that Hans Berger, 1873 to 1941, began his pioneering investigations. Trained in both neurology and psychiatry, Berger worked within a neuropsychiatric model common in Germany and Austria at the time. His academic position was modest, and he was largely unrecognized within either clinical or research circles. Nevertheless, between 1924 and 1929, Berger undertook a series of methodically rigorous experiments in which he succeeded in recording the first human electroencephalograms. Initially studying cerebral circulation using plethysmographic techniques, he turned his attention to brain electrical activity after earlier attempts in animals with capillary electrometers proved unsuccessful. Berger utilized a Siemens double-coil galvanometer from 1926 onward, capable of detecting potentials as low as 130 microvolts per centimeter. His electrodes were non-polarizable pads, and his recordings used a bipolar montage with frontooccipital placements. Despite working in relative isolation with minimal institutional support, Berger's tracings revealed the alpha rhythm, an 8 to 13 hertz posterior waveform seen in relaxed wakefulness with eyes closed. He also identified its suppression upon eye opening, termed alpha blocking, as well as higher frequency beta activity and slower delta components in pathological states. However, Berger's findings were initially met with skepticism. His publications were linguistically dense and philosophically speculative. He rejected the term electrocerebrogram for being linguistically impure and proposed electroencephalogram instead. Moreover, his theoretical motivation was idiosyncratic. He viewed EEG as a physical correlate of mental energy, potentially capable of mediating interpersonal communication. Though incorrect in mechanism, this motivation nevertheless led him to uncover one of the most significant physiological phenomena of the 20th century. The turning point came in 1934 when Edgar Adrian, by then an internationally respected neurophysiologist, replicated Berger's findings. Adrian recorded his own alpha rhythm and demonstrated the blocking effect of eye opening, using himself as a subject. Interestingly, he noted similar rhythms in the optic lobes of insects, including water beetles, which he used to illustrate the universality of rhythmic neuronal discharge. Adrian's confirmation legitimized Berger's work and led to widespread scientific acceptance of the human EEG. Berger continued his work until 1938, when political tensions in Germany, particularly his resistance to the Nazi regime and failure to align with its ideological directives, forced his retirement. He subsequently entered a period of severe depression and took his own life in 1941. Despite this tragic end, his legacy as the founder of human electroencephalography is indelible. His commitment to scientific integrity, meticulous methodology, and visionary insight into cerebral dynamics remains foundational in clinical and quantitative EEG. Berger's German contemporaries and the Berlin Buck Institute. While Hans Berger labored in relative isolation in Jena, other groups in Germany were beginning to build institutional frameworks for neuroscience that would soon rival and, in many respects, surpass Berger's technical capabilities. Chief among these was the Institute of Brain Research in Berlin-Buck, directed by Oscar Voigt, a prominent neuroanatomist and neuropathologist. Voigt was known for his ambitious theory of cortical architectonics, proposing that the cerebral cortex could be divided into approximately 200 structurally and functionally distinct areas. This concept significantly influenced subsequent approaches to cortical localization and electrophysiological mapping. The Berlin-Buck Institute was subdivided into several departments, with the Department of Physiology led by M. H. Fisher and the Department of Electrophysiology directed by A. E. Kornmüller. Kornmüller, in collaboration with physicist and electronic engineer J. F. Toennies, played a crucial role in advancing the technical sophistication of EEG recording. Toennies developed one of the first ink-writing biological amplifiers, enabling more accurate and continuous recording of cortical potentials. He later designed a differential amplifier while in New York in 1932, nearly concurrently with Brian Matthews in Cambridge. This device would become fundamental to all modern EEG systems. Kornmüller's early work with Toennies involved expanding the number of electrodes used in scalp recordings, a radical departure from Berger's single-channel system. This allowed for the first detailed studies of regional differences in cerebral electrical activity. Of particular note were Kornmüller's investigations into epileptiform spikes, which presaged later work on focal epilepsy. Despite his promising early contributions, Kornmüller's later years were marked by a controversial and ultimately unsupported theory that glial cells were the primary generators of slow brain potentials, a hypothesis that failed to gain empirical validation. The trajectory of the Berlin-Buck Institute changed dramatically after Voigt's dismissal by the Nazi government in 1936. His replacement, Hugo Spatz, redirected research priorities, and several leading scientists either emigrated or were marginalized. Toennies continued to innovate abroad, developing the first cathode follower for high-resistance electrode recordings, which facilitated the rise of microelectrode techniques in electrophysiology. Meanwhile, Richard Jung, who joined the Berlin group in 1937, went on to become one of the preeminent clinical neurophysiologists of the post-war era. Though this Berlin school was ultimately overshadowed by the political collapse of German academic institutions during the war, its influence persisted through its methodological innovations and its emphasis on topographic analysis. This approach would later be foundational to quantitative EEG. Edgar Douglas Adrian, neurophysiology's Nobel laureate and EEG's scientific validator. The role of Edgar Douglas Adrian in the development and acceptance of human EEG cannot be overstated. Born in 1889 and educated at Trinity College, Cambridge, Adrian was one of the leading figures in 20th century neurophysiology. Alongside Sir Charles Sherrington, he received the 1932 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for his work elucidating the electrical activity of single sensory neurons. His research confirmed the all-or-none law of action potentials and introduced methodologies for recording unitary discharges, thereby establishing the foundation for single-neuron electrophysiology. Adrian's involvement in EEG emerged from his interest in central nervous system activity. Following Berger's controversial 1929 publication, Adrian and his collaborator Brian Matthews undertook efforts to replicate the findings using galvanometers of superior sensitivity and greater familiarity with signal acquisition. By 1934, Adrian was able to record alpha rhythms from his own scalp, demonstrating their suppression with eye opening, alpha blocking, and presenting these findings at the Physiological Society meetings in 1935. These demonstrations confirmed Berger's data and provided the validation needed for EEG to gain traction within the broader scientific community. Adrian's ingenuity extended beyond human subjects. In a widely noted experiment, he recorded from the optic ganglion of a water beetle, noting that the rhythmic discharges resembled human alpha rhythms and responded similarly to visual stimuli. While initially confusing to some observers, these findings underscore the universality of rhythmic neural discharge across species and contribute to a broader understanding of oscillatory network dynamics in the central nervous system. Despite his significant contributions to basic neurophysiology, Adrian did not pursue extensive clinical applications of EEG. His focus remained on elucidating the principles of neural signaling at the cellular level. Nonetheless, his public confirmation of Berger's work, combined with his authoritative standing in the scientific community, was critical to the legitimization and dissemination of EEG as a research and diagnostic modality. His colleague Detlev Bronk, later president of Johns Hopkins University and a prominent figure in American science policy, continued some of Adrian's electrophysiological investigations and promoted EEG in the United States. The Adrian Matthews Group's technical and conceptual rigor laid the groundwork for more widespread acceptance and adaptation of EEG techniques in both laboratory and clinical settings. William Gray Walter and the rise of clinical EEG in Britain. While Adrian's work was instrumental in confirming the validity of EEG, it was William Gray Walter who pioneered its systematic clinical application in the United Kingdom. A trained physiologist with a PhD and a strong foundation in electrical engineering, Walter joined the Burton Neurological Institute in Bristol, where he developed one of the most advanced EEG laboratories of the pre-war era. Walter's work extended Berger's innovations by introducing multi-channel recordings, which allowed for simultaneous measurement of electrical activity across various cortical regions. His most significant clinical discovery was the identification of delta foci, or focal slow wave activity, which he linked to intracranial space-occupying lesions, such as tumors. This finding transformed EEG into a viable tool for localizing structural pathology and attracted interest from neurosurgeons and neurologists alike. In addition to his clinical innovations, Walter contributed to the theoretical advancement of EEG. He was the first to propose the topographic mapping of EEG activity, essentially creating electrical brain maps decades before the advent of QEG software. His conceptualization of spatial brain dynamics presaged the modern emphasis on source localization and connectivity analysis. Walter also had a strong interest in cybernetics and artificial intelligence, developing autonomous robotic systems that responded to environmental stimuli based on EEG-like feedback loops, a project known as the Machina Speculatrix. Despite these accomplishments, Walter's influence within British clinical neurology was somewhat constrained. His background as a non-physician scientist, combined with the entrenched conservatism of clinical departments, meant that EEG remained largely within the purview of research institutes rather than hospitals. Nonetheless, Walter's writings, both scientific and popular, were widely respected, and his Bristol laboratory became a model for EEG centers worldwide. Walter's emphasis on regional cerebral function, the diagnostic value of EEG patterns, and the integration of technology with biology positioned him as a transitional figure bridging early clinical EEG and the more sophisticated computational approaches that would later emerge in QEG. North American EEG research and the transatlantic expansion of electroencephalography. By the mid-1930s, North America had begun to eclipse Europe as the epicenter of electroencephalography, both in terms of research innovation and clinical application. While Hans Berger's original discoveries and the validation efforts of Adrian, Walter, and others had laid the technical and conceptual groundwork, the expansion of EEG into a comprehensive clinical discipline took shape most fully in the United States and Canada. Several institutional and individual factors contributed to this transatlantic shift, not least of which was the intellectual receptiveness of American neuroscience to technological innovation and empirical measurement. The early years of EEG in the United States were not without skepticism. In 1918, Donald McPherson, a Harvard Medical School student, observed rhythmic electrical activity in a cat's brain, but had his findings dismissed by Alexander Forbes, a leading American physiologist at the time. This initial dismissal highlights how, in the early decades of the 20th century, American biomedical science remained largely unaware of or indifferent to cortical electrophysiology. That would change dramatically following the publication of Berger's 1929 paper. One of the first American scientists to recognize the significance of Berger's work was Hollowell Davis, a Harvard-trained physiologist known for his work in auditory neuroscience. Davis was introduced to Berger's publication through his graduate student A.J. Derbyshire, and after some difficulty replicating the alpha rhythm in initial experiments, Davis eventually discovered that he himself had a robust alpha pattern. This breakthrough marked the beginning of systematic human EEG studies in the United States in 1934. Alongside his wife, Pauline Davis, Hollowell Davis began refining recording techniques and exploring the basic architecture of EEG in both healthy individuals and patients with neuropsychiatric disorders. Davis's work extended into multiple domains, including sleep research, where he helped establish the electrophysiological stages of sleep in collaboration with A.L. Loomis and colleagues, as previously noted. His laboratory also made substantial advances in equipment design and signal processing. Davis's position at Harvard provided both credibility and resources, enabling the rapid proliferation of EEG as a research tool. Working concurrently at Harvard were Frederick A. Gibbs and Erna Gibbs, whose contributions were foundational to the establishment of clinical EEG in the United States. Frederick Gibbs, originally trained at Johns Hopkins, partnered with William G. Lennox, a neurologist and epileptologist who had been studying cerebral circulation but soon turned his attention to EEG. Gibbs and Lennox collaborated on early EEG studies of epilepsy and made the critical discovery in 1935 that 3-per-second spike in wave discharges were the hallmark of absence seizures, previously known as petit mal. This was the first demonstration that specific seizure types could be identified by their characteristic electrophysiologic patterns and insight that transformed the diagnosis and classification of epilepsy. Erna Gibbs, who had originally joined the laboratory as a technician, became Frederick's wife and full scientific partner. She was instrumental in developing technical recording methods and authored many of the early papers describing EEG changes in epilepsy, coma, and encephalopathies. The Gibbs's collaboration with Albert Grass, a physicist from MIT, resulted in the development of the Grass Model IEG machine, the first commercially viable multi-channel EEG system in the United States. This instrument became the standard for EEG laboratories across the country and facilitated the expansion of EEG from elite academic centers to general hospitals and private practices. Another major figure in early North American EEG was Herbert H. Jasper, a Canadian-American neurophysiologist with a background in psychology and philosophy. Jasper began his EEG work at Brown University and later moved to McGill University in Montreal, where he partnered with renowned neurosurgeon Wilder Penfield at the Montreal Neurological Institute. Together, they pioneered electrocorticography, the direct recording of electrical activity from the cortical surface during neurosurgical procedures. Their work was revolutionary, enabling real-time identification of epileptogenic zones and eloquent cortex, and forming the empirical foundation for epilepsy surgery. Jasper also introduced depth electrode recordings in humans, providing a method for studying deep-seated seizure foci in the mesial temporal lobe and other inaccessible areas. These methods enabled the classification of seizures based on their intracranial origin and propagation patterns, thereby significantly enhancing surgical planning and treatment outcomes. The Montreal Group's functional anatomical approach, which integrates clinical EEG findings with intraoperative observations and histopathological data, represents a model of translational neuroscience that remains influential to this day. Simultaneously, a vibrant research culture was emerging at the University of Iowa, under the leadership of Lee Travis, who trained many of the early American EEG scientists. His students, including John R. Knott and Charles E. Henry, went on to make substantial contributions to clinical neurophysiology. Iowa's EEG school emphasized rigorous standardization of recording techniques and the development of a normative database, an orientation that would later prove foundational for QEG. In the United States, the 1940s and 1950s saw a dramatic increase in EEG applications, not only in epilepsy, but also in sleep medicine, brain injury assessment, and neuropsychiatry. Researchers such as Robert Schwab, Ralph Gerard, and Franklin Offner developed new electrode configurations, signal amplifiers, and analytic tools, expanding EEG's diagnostic utility. Gerard's work on needle electrodes for animal EEG, in collaboration with Offner's engineering innovations, pushed the technical boundaries of electrophysiological monitoring. The founding of the American EEG Society in 1947 and the convening of the first International EEG Congress in London the same year, followed by a second in Paris in 1949, signified EEG's full emergence as a global scientific discipline. By this time, North America had assumed leadership in both the clinical and technological development of EEG, building on and expanding the foundations laid in Europe. Despite these achievements, it is essential to acknowledge the complex interplay of scientific opportunities, institutional support, and geopolitical context that facilitated this transition. The rise of American EEG occurred not simply because of technical superiority, but also because of the broader openness to interdisciplinary collaboration between clinicians, engineers, and basic scientists. This culture of integration would prove critical to the eventual evolution of quantitative EEG, which depended as much on computational modeling and engineering as on clinical neurophysiology. From analog to digital, signal analysis and the Fourier revolution. The transition from analog to digital analysis in EEG represents one of the most critical inflection points in the history of neurophysiology. By the mid-20th century, it had become clear that the complexity of EEG waveforms far exceeded the capabilities of unaided human interpretation. As EEG recordings expanded in channel count and duration, clinicians and researchers sought objective, quantitative methods to analyze signal content, particularly in the frequency domain. The earliest approaches to frequency analysis relied on analog filters that could isolate specific bands, alpha, beta, delta, theta, for visual inspection. However, these methods were imprecise and offered no statistical characterization of spectral content. The real breakthrough came with the application of Fourier analysis, a mathematical technique that decomposes a signal into its constituent sinusoidal frequencies. In the early 1930s, Deitch had applied basic Fourier principles to EEG tracings, though computation was laborious and time-consuming. The advent of the fast Fourier transform, FFT, in 1965 by James Cooley and John Tukey was a watershed moment. The FFT significantly reduced the computational load required for spectral analysis, enabling the real-time or near-real-time decomposition of EEG signals into power spectra. This made it feasible to systematically characterize the amplitude and distribution of EEG activity across frequency bands. The FFT algorithm transformed the EEG from a purely qualitative tool into a quantitative one, capable of generating precise numerical descriptors of cerebral activity. This capability was not merely technical. It had significant clinical implications. Researchers can now compute metrics such as absolute and relative power, mean frequency, and band ratios, all of which can be used to detect abnormalities, monitor changes over time, and correlate with behavioral or pharmacological states. For example, increased theta power could suggest attentional dysfunction, while excess beta might indicate anxiety or stimulant exposure. Moreover, FFT-enabled coherence analysis allowed for the study of functional connectivity, measuring how different brain regions oscillated in synchrony or divergence. The FFT laid the foundation for a new branch of neurophysiology, quantitative EEG. Unlike traditional EEG, which relied on expert interpretation of waveform morphology, QEG transformed raw data into multidimensional arrays of statistical features. These could then be visualized as topographic maps, statistically compared to normative databases, or subjected to machine learning algorithms for classification. Despite its power, early QEG remained controversial, with some neurologists skeptical of its clinical relevance. Nevertheless, its utility in research contexts, particularly psychopharmacology, developmental neurobiology, and cognitive neuroscience, continued to grow, driving further methodological refinements. From analog to digital, signal analysis and the Fourier revolution. The transition from analog to digital analysis in EEG represents one of the most critical inflection points in the history of neurophysiology. By the mid-20th century, it had become clear that the complexity of EEG waveforms far exceeded the capabilities of unaided human interpretation. As EEG recordings expanded in channel count and duration, clinicians and researchers sought objective, quantitative methods to analyze signal content, particularly in the frequency domain. The earliest approaches to frequency analysis relied on analog filters that could isolate specific bands, alpha, beta, delta, theta, for visual inspection. However, these methods were imprecise and offered no statistical characterization of spectral content. The real breakthrough came with the application of Fourier analysis, a mathematical technique that decomposes a signal into its constituent sinusoidal frequencies. In the early 1930s, Deitch had applied basic Fourier principles to EEG tracings, though computation was laborious and time-consuming. The advent of the fast Fourier transform, FFT, in 1965 by James Cooley and John Tukey was a watershed moment. The FFT significantly reduced the computational load required for spectral analysis, enabling the real-time or near-real-time decomposition of EEG signals into power spectra. This made it feasible to systematically characterize the amplitude and distribution of EEG activity across frequency bands. The FFT algorithm transformed the EEG from a purely qualitative tool into a quantitative one, capable of generating precise numerical descriptors of cerebral activity. This capability was not merely technical. It had significant clinical implications. Researchers can now compute metrics such as absolute and relative power, mean frequency, and band ratios, all of which can be used to detect abnormalities, monitor changes over time, and correlate with behavioral or pharmacological states. For example, increased theta power could suggest attentional dysfunction, while excess beta might indicate anxiety or stimulant exposure. Moreover, FFT-enabled coherence analysis enabled the study of functional connectivity, measuring how different brain regions oscillated in synchrony or asynchrony. The FFT laid the foundation for a new branch of neurophysiology, quantitative EEG. Unlike traditional EEG, which relied on expert interpretation of waveform morphology, QEG transformed raw data into multidimensional arrays of statistical features. These could then be visualized as topographic maps, statistically compared to normative databases, or subjected to machine learning algorithms for classification. Despite its power, early QEG remained controversial, with some neurologists skeptical of its clinical relevance. Nevertheless, its utility in research contexts, particularly psychopharmacology, developmental neurobiology, and cognitive neuroscience, continued to grow, driving further methodological refinements. Computerization and the emergence of quantitative EEG, QEG. The 1970s and 1980s marked the period in which quantitative EEG matured from a theoretical extension of analog EEG into a practical clinical and research tool, largely due to advances in digital computing, signal processing, and statistical analysis. As microprocessor technology became more accessible, neurophysiologists could digitize EEG signals, allowing for the storage, retrieval, and complex mathematical manipulation of these large datasets. This shift facilitated the development of automated systems capable of analyzing EEG recordings in ways that exceeded the capabilities of human observers. One of the pivotal figures in this movement was Frank H. Duffy, a neurologist at Boston Children's Hospital, who pioneered the clinical application of computerized EEG analysis. Duffy's most significant contribution was the development of topographic brain mapping, which transformed numerical QEG data into visual representations of electrical activity across the scalp. These topographic plots, often color-coded to represent power across various frequency bands, provided an intuitive and accessible view of brain function. His work was instrumental in bridging the gap between the visual traditions of EEG and the statistical rigor of quantitative methods. Duffy and his team applied these techniques to pediatric populations, where the changing morphology of the EEG throughout development made interpretation particularly complex. By creating age-norm databases and plotting topographic changes, Duffy was able to identify subtle abnormalities in children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, autism spectrum disorder, and epilepsy. His research demonstrated that QEG could distinguish clinical populations from neurotypical controls, even when traditional EEG interpretations failed to identify overt pathology. Parallel to Duffy's work, E. Roy John at New York University developed an entirely new framework for understanding QEG, termed neurometrics. This concept, rooted in statistical neuroscience, emphasized the use of normative databases, age and gender-matched populations against which an individual's EEG features could be statistically compared. John's neurometric analysis allowed for the quantification of deviations from normality, expressed in Z-scores. This approach enabled clinicians to identify abnormal brain function with a level of statistical precision that had never previously been possible in clinical neurophysiology. John's group demonstrated that various psychiatric and neurological disorders had consistent neurometric profiles. For example, children with ADHD showed increased theta power and decreased beta power in frontal regions, while adults with schizophrenia often demonstrated abnormalities in delta and alpha coherence. These findings provided compelling evidence that brain function could be quantified and that deviations from normative patterns corresponded with specific clinical syndromes. Leslie S. Pritchup, a close collaborator of E. Roy John, expanded neurometrics into applied clinical settings. She focused on the utility of QEG in predicting treatment outcomes and identifying biomarkers for psychiatric conditions. One of her most influential contributions was in the evaluation of traumatic brain injury, where she demonstrated that QEG abnormalities could persist despite normal findings on structural imaging, such as CT or MRI. This established QEG as a valuable tool for assessing functional brain impairment, especially in mild TBI or post-concussive syndrome, where traditional radiology might be insensitive. Together, John and Pritchup's work helped legitimize QEG as a clinical tool, providing objective measures of brain function in a wide variety of disorders. Their contributions were essential in moving EEG beyond qualitative interpretation and into the realm of evidence-based, reproducible diagnostics. Neurometric principles, still in use today, underpin many of the most widely used QEG analysis systems. By the 1990s, the capabilities of digital signal processing had expanded dramatically, and researchers began applying increasingly sophisticated mathematical tools to EEG data. This period marked the integration of nonlinear dynamics, source localization algorithms, and connectivity analysis into the domain of QEG. The application of these tools allowed for a more nuanced and physiologically grounded understanding of how brain regions interact in both health and disease. Among the most impactful advances in this era was the development of LORETTA, low-resolution electromagnetic tomography, by Roberto Pascual Marquez. LORETTA introduced the capacity to estimate intracerebral generators of EEG activity, moving beyond scalp-level interpretation. By using mathematical inverse solutions, LORETTA estimated the cortical sources contributing to surface EEG signals, thereby enabling three-dimensional imaging of brain function. Although low resolution by the standards of magnetic resonance imaging, LORETTA offered a significant improvement in spatial interpretation of EEG, particularly in disorders involving diffuse or non-lesional abnormalities. Later refinements led to S-LORETTA, standardized LORETTA, which eliminated some of the localization bias inherent in the original algorithm. Pascual Marquez also introduced functional connectivity metrics into the LORETTA framework, enabling users to assess how different brain regions synchronize their activity across time and frequency domains. These methods revealed that certain neuropsychiatric disorders, such as depression, schizophrenia, and ADHD, were characterized not simply by abnormal activity in isolated brain areas, but by dysregulated interactions among distributed neural networks. Simultaneously, time frequency analysis techniques, such as wavelet transforms and Hilbert, Huang transforms, provided alternatives to Fourier-based models. These tools were better suited to analyzing the inherently non-stationary and transient nature of EEG signals. By breaking down EEG data into time-localized frequency components, researchers can examine how brain activity evolves over milliseconds, a resolution essential for understanding cognitive and perceptual processes. Another major innovation was the use of independent component analysis, ICA, which enabled the decomposition of EEG signals into statistically independent sources. ICA proved instrumental in separating artifact from signal, allowing researchers to isolate eye blinks, muscle noise, and electrocardiographic interference, thereby improving the signal-to-noise ratio for subsequent analyses. ICA also facilitated the identification of latent neural generators, supporting more accurate source localization and more reliable detection of functional abnormalities. Machine learning algorithms also entered the QEG arena during this period. These algorithms, including support vector machines, neural networks, and decision trees, were applied to large-scale QEG datasets to identify patterns predictive of psychiatric or neurological diagnoses. Studies showed that machine learning models trained on QEG data could classify conditions such as ADHD, depression, and schizophrenia with high sensitivity and specificity, sometimes surpassing conventional clinical assessments. At the same time, researchers began focusing on the application of event-related potentials, ERPs, in QEG contexts. The P300 component, first described by Samuel Sutton in 1965, became a widely studied index of cognitive processing, decision-making, and attention. Diminished P300 amplitude was repeatedly associated with a range of neuropsychiatric conditions, including alcoholism, schizophrenia, and dementia. The ability to measure and interpret ERP components in conjunction with resting state QEG expanded the analytical repertoire of clinicians and researchers alike. Collectively, these developments marked the transition of QEG from a descriptive modality to a mechanistic and predictive one. Source localization, functional connectivity, and machine learning techniques enabled clinicians and researchers to construct models of brain dysfunction based on neurophysiological data, thereby enhancing both diagnostic accuracy and treatment planning. Neurofeedback, normative databases, and modern clinical applications of QEG. As the quantitative analysis of EEG matured, its potential expanded beyond diagnostic evaluation into therapeutic applications. Neurofeedback, a form of biofeedback, emerged as one of the most promising offshoots of QEG technology. Although EEG-based biofeedback had its origins in the 1960s and 1970s, it was in the 1990s and early 2000s, following the development of robust QEG normative databases and real-time signal processing systems, that neurofeedback became a structured, reproducible clinical intervention. Among the pioneers in this domain was Joel F. Luber, a clinical psychologist and neuroscientist who focused his work on attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Luber developed training protocols based on the theta-to-beta ratio, which he found to be consistently elevated in children with ADHD. Using operant conditioning paradigms, Luber taught patients to suppress theta band activity, associated with drowsiness or inattention, and enhance beta activity, associated with alertness and focus. Through repeated training sessions, patients learned to modify their cortical activity patterns, leading to sustained improvements in both behavioral and cognitive outcomes. His work provided early evidence that QEEG-guided neurofeedback could lead to durable changes in brain function and clinical symptomatology. Among the most influential figures in the applied domain of quantitative electroencephalography, Jay Gunkelman stands out not only for his technical proficiency, but for his unique role as an educator, interpreter, and integrator of QEG within clinical and therapeutic frameworks. While not formally trained as a medical doctor or academic researcher, Gunkelman's contributions have nevertheless had a substantial and enduring impact on how QEG is understood and used in real-world clinical practice. Gunkelman's expertise in EEG pattern recognition is widely acknowledged across both medical and neurofeedback communities. With decades of experience analyzing thousands of EEGs, he has developed an exceptional ability to identify nuanced waveform patterns, such as specific variants of alpha, beta, theta, and delta activity, and associate them with neurophysiological dysfunctions. His insights have proven especially valuable in cases where traditional EEG reports might yield nonspecific or inconclusive results. By applying advanced spectral and topographic analysis, Gunkelman has helped bridge the gap between descriptive EEG and functional interpretation. One of his most significant contributions lies in translating complex EEG phenomena into clinically actionable language. His presentations, lectures, and workshops, delivered globally to both novice and expert audiences, have been marked by clarity, practical relevance, and a deep grounding in electrophysiologic principles. Unlike many contributors to the field whose work remains confined to academic literature or technical development, Gunkelman has played a pivotal role in democratizing access to EEG knowledge, making the discipline more accessible to psychologists, therapists, and allied health professionals who lack formal training in neurophysiology but wish to employ EEG or neurofeedback in clinical settings. Importantly, Gunkelman has been a vocal advocate for standardized interpretation of QEG findings within the framework of functional brain assessment. He has emphasized the need to understand the electrophysiological signatures of disorders such as anxiety, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, traumatic brain injury, and affective dysregulation not merely in terms of statistical deviation from normative databases, but also through the lens of phenomenological pattern recognition, often involving combinations of spectral abnormalities, topographic asymmetries, and coherence deviations. This integrative, interpretive strategy enables more precise targeting in both diagnostic formulation and treatment planning. Gunkelman has also been instrumental in refining the application of QEG to neurofeedback. His work has contributed to the identification of EEG phenotypes associated with therapeutic responsiveness, enabling clinicians to tailor neurofeedback protocols to the individual's specific electrophysiologic profile. This person-centered approach contrasts with generic training paradigms and aligns with the broader trend toward precision neurotherapy. By combining normative metrics, real-time EEG feedback, and empirical pattern matching, Gunkelman has helped clinicians improve outcome efficacy and reduce treatment variability. Beyond technical expertise, Gunkelman's influence is felt through his mentorship and collaborative ethos. He has trained and advised numerous clinicians, researchers, and educators in the practical interpretation of QEG, helping to build a global community of practitioners who rely on his interpretive models and heuristic frameworks. His work underscores the critical importance of clinical interpretive skill in a field that is increasingly driven by automated analysis and machine learning, reminding practitioners that effective QEG interpretation remains both an art and a science. Simultaneously, clinicians and researchers began to explore frontal alpha asymmetry as a biomarker for affective disorders, particularly depression. J. Peter Rosenfeld and Elsa Baer advanced protocols for modifying left-right asymmetry in alpha power, based on findings that depressed patients often exhibit greater right frontal alpha activity, interpreted as lower activation in the left prefrontal cortex, an area implicated in approach motivation and positive effect. Their neurofeedback training aimed to increase left frontal activation and normalize asymmetry patterns. Clinical trials have shown that patients receiving this form of neurofeedback exhibit reductions in depressive symptoms, and importantly, these improvements persist over long-term follow-up, suggesting the induction of stable neurophysiological changes. Neurofeedback also expanded into other domains, including anxiety, autism spectrum disorder, epilepsy, and post-traumatic stress disorder. By leveraging design, individualized neurofeedback protocols can be created. For instance, epileptiform activity in sensorimotor regions could be downregulated using sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, enhancement protocols. In PTSD, neurofeedback could be tailored to modulate hyperactive beta rhythms or dysregulated alpha patterns associated with hypervigilance and arousal dysregulation. As clinical applications proliferated, the demand for reference data increased. This led to the systematic construction of normative QEG databases, which are large-scale repositories of EEG features across various age, sex, and developmental stages. Robert Thatcher was a key contributor in this area. His work involved collecting and statistically analyzing QEG data from thousands of individuals across the lifespan, generating normative standards that clinicians could use to assess deviations in a patient's brain function. These databases are typically stratified by age due to the known developmental shifts in EEG patterns, such as the gradual slowing of peak alpha frequency and the maturation of coherence networks. Thatcher also developed NeuroGuide, a software platform for QEG analysis that integrates these normative databases into a user-friendly interface for clinicians. The platform allows real-time comparison of a patient's EEG features against population norms and provides visualization tools for detecting abnormalities in power, phase, coherence, and symmetry. Clinicians can use these data to identify potential neurophysiological substrates of presenting symptoms and track the effects of treatment over time. Another major innovation in this period was the introduction of Z-score neurofeedback, championed by Thomas F. Kalura. In this paradigm, real-time EEG data are continuously compared against a normative database, and feedback is delivered based on the Z-score deviation of a given EEG feature from the mean. This approach enables dynamic and individualized training, targeting specific abnormalities in brain activity and guiding the brain toward normative function. Kalura also contributed to the democratization of neurofeedback through the development of portable, cost-effective hardware and software systems, thereby expanding access to these interventions beyond research laboratories and into community-based clinical settings. Kalura's contributions extended to education and standardization. He played a significant role in developing training programs for clinicians, ensuring that the complex principles behind QEG and neurofeedback were translated into actionable clinical protocols. This addressed one of the long-standing criticisms of neurofeedback that it lacked standardization and theoretical consistency. By anchoring neurofeedback in QEG-derived statistical metrics, the field began to move toward greater legitimacy in evidence-based medicine. While traditional neurofeedback protocols focused on one or two EEG metrics, more recent approaches integrate multivariate training, targeting entire networks of dysregulated activity. Functional connectivity metrics, such as coherence and phase lag, are now incorporated into feedback algorithms, allowing patients to modulate the synchronization between brain regions. These connectivity-based neurofeedback paradigms are particularly relevant in disorders characterized by network dysfunction, such as autism, schizophrenia, and traumatic brain injury. Yuri Kropotov further advanced the scientific rigor of neurofeedback and QEG by applying event-related potential, ERP, paradigms. His work demonstrated that ERP components, such as the N200 and P300, could serve as biomarkers for cognitive dysfunction in ADHD, schizophrenia, and affective disorders. Kropotov constructed extensive normative ERP databases and used them to guide both diagnosis and treatment. His research illustrated that deviations from ERP norms could predict symptom severity, functional impairment, and treatment response, thereby offering a more direct window into the cognitive and neurophysiological substrates of psychiatric illness. Moreover, Kropotov integrated ERPs into neurofeedback training. By identifying specific ERP components that were deficient or exaggerated, he was able to design targeted neurofeedback protocols aimed at restoring normal ERP morphology. This integration of time-locked cognitive measures with resting-state QEG analytics represented a new frontier in personalized neurotherapy. Importantly, Kropotov emphasized the distinction between symptomatic presentations and neurophysiological substrates. He showed that individuals with the same psychiatric diagnosis, for example, ADHD, could exhibit markedly different QEG and ERP profiles. This heterogeneity underscores the need for individualized treatment planning based on objective biomarkers, rather than relying solely on behavioral diagnostic criteria. His work reinforced the view that QEG is not merely an adjunctive tool, but a core component of precision psychiatry. In parallel, neurofeedback research continued to validate its clinical efficacy. Meta-analyses have shown medium to large effect sizes for neurofeedback in ADHD and emerging support for its use in anxiety, depression, and PTSD. While methodological variability remains a concern, studies using rigorous designs, randomized controlled trials, sham feedback conditions, and blinded raters have provided accumulating evidence that neurofeedback, especially when guided by QEG, can produce meaningful and lasting changes in brain function and behavior. The future of quantitative EEG and its integration into clinical neuroscience. As we enter the modern era of neurotechnology and computational medicine, the field of quantitative electroencephalography, QEG, stands at the intersection of neuroscience, clinical diagnostics, artificial intelligence, and precision therapeutics. The trajectory of QEG, from rudimentary galvanometers to high-density electrode arrays with real-time Z-score feedback and source localization, represents more than just technological progress. It exemplifies the evolution of our understanding of the human brain as a dynamic, measurable, and modifiable system. Looking forward, the future of QEG lies in deepening its integration with other modalities, enhancing its analytic rigor, and expanding its application across diverse domains of clinical medicine. One of the most promising frontiers in QEG is the integration with neuroimaging. Multimodal approaches, combining EEG with structural MRI, functional MRI, fMRI, positron emission tomography, PET, and magnetoencephalography, MEG, are now being employed to triangulate the spatial and temporal aspects of brain function. EEG offers unparalleled temporal resolution, capturing neural dynamics on the millisecond scale, while MRI and PET provide high spatial fidelity and metabolic context. By co-registering QEG data with anatomical MRI scans and employing source localization algorithms such as S-Loretta, researchers can now generate three-dimensional representations of cortical activity that are both time and space resolved. Such integration is particularly impactful in the context of epilepsy surgery, where pre-surgical mapping using QEG, ERPs, and MRI-guided source imaging can refine the identification of epileptogenic zones and eloquent cortex. Similarly, in neurodegenerative disorders like Alzheimer's disease, where metabolic abnormalities often precede structural atrophy, QEG has shown potential in identifying early synaptic dysfunction. Reduced coherence in alpha and beta bands, increased delta-theta activity, and altered functional connectivity patterns are being explored as early biomarkers of cognitive decline. These findings may eventually supplement or even rival PET imaging in terms of accessibility and cost-effectiveness for early diagnosis. Artificial intelligence and machine learning have emerged as transformative tools in QEG analytics. With the rise of large-scale datasets and cloud-based processing capabilities, supervised and unsupervised learning algorithms are being applied to detect patterns associated with specific neuropsychiatric conditions. Deep learning architectures, such as convolutional neural networks, CNNs, and recurrent neural networks, RNNs, are capable of analyzing raw EEG data or extracted features to classify disease states, predict treatment outcomes, or detect seizure activity in real time. These models can be trained on thousands of hours of EEG recordings, allowing them to recognize subtle, nonlinear patterns that may elude human observers. However, the application of AI in QEG is not without challenges. The interpretability of complex machine learning models, often described as black boxes, remains a concern, particularly in clinical contexts where diagnostic transparency is essential. As such, there is growing interest in explainable AI, XAI, frameworks that can provide interpretable outputs based on neurophysiological principles. In QEG, this means ensuring that algorithmic predictions are grounded in recognizable features such as band power abnormalities, coherence disruptions, or topographic deviations from normative templates. Real-time applications of QEG are also expanding. Live Z-score neurofeedback, in which the brain's electrical activity is continuously compared to a normative database and feedback is delivered within milliseconds, is now being used not only in outpatient therapy settings, but also intraoperatively and in critical care. For instance, QEG monitoring during neurosurgical procedures can help preserve functional cortex by alerting surgeons to changes in spectral dynamics, thereby enhancing surgical outcomes. In the intensive care unit, QEG is employed to monitor depth of anesthesia, detect subclinical seizures, and assess prognosis in coma and post-cardiac arrest patients. Spectral edge frequency, burst suppression ratio, and reactivity indices derived from QEG are becoming essential components of neurocritical care monitoring. In psychiatric care, the promise of QEG lies in its capacity to redefine diagnostic categories based on objective biological measures rather than subjective symptom clusters. The Research Domain Criteria, RDC, initiative, sponsored by the National Institute of Mental Health, emphasizes the identification of neurobiological dimensions that cut across traditional psychiatric diagnoses. QEG is well-suited for this purpose, as it can quantify arousal, attention, executive control, and emotional regulation at the network level. Emerging paradigms use QEG to subtype disorders like depression or schizophrenia into biologically distinct endophenotypes, each of which may respond differently to pharmacologic or behavioral interventions. Beyond diagnosis, QEG may soon play a central role in treatment selection and monitoring. Pharmacodynamic QEG studies have demonstrated that different psychotropic medications exert specific spectral signatures. For example, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, often enhance posterior alpha power, while benzodiazepines increase beta activity and reduce coherence. By quantifying these changes, QEG can provide real-time feedback on treatment response, reduce the time to therapeutic effect, and help identify non-responders early in the treatment process. Similarly, neurofeedback protocols can be adjusted dynamically based on ongoing QEG metrics, creating truly adaptive interventions. The application of the QEG is also extending into developmental and educational settings. In children, especially those with learning disabilities, autism, or attentional deficits, QEG offers a window into functional brain organization that is not accessible via structural imaging or behavioral testing alone. Functional maturity indices derived from QEG can aid in developmental assessments, and targeted interventions can be deployed during critical windows of neurodevelopment. In schools, some pilot programs have used QEG-based screening to identify children at risk for academic failure due to underlying neurophysiological dysregulation. Another rapidly growing area is the use of portable and wearable EEG devices for remote monitoring. Advances in dry electrode technology, wireless data transmission, and mobile processing have made it feasible to conduct QEG studies in non-clinical settings. These devices are being tested for use in sports-related concussion monitoring, remote neurorehabilitation, and consumer applications, including cognitive enhancement and stress management. While these applications raise important ethical and regulatory concerns, particularly regarding data privacy and clinical oversight, they also offer unprecedented opportunities for democratizing access to brain health technologies. Despite these advances, the clinical adoption of QEG remains uneven. Skepticism persists among some neurologists and psychiatrists regarding the validity and utility of QEG, often due to misconceptions or a lack of familiarity with its scientific basis. Moreover, standards for data acquisition, artifact rejection, database calibration, and interpretive methodology remain variable across laboratories. There is a pressing need for professional consensus guidelines and rigorous certification programs to ensure quality control and facilitate interdisciplinary integration. As the field advances, several key imperatives emerge: the need for longitudinal studies to validate QEG biomarkers across disorders and populations, the integration of multimodal neuroimaging to triangulate findings, the development of open-source, interoperable analysis platforms, and the establishment of ethical frameworks to guide the use of predictive neural technologies. Training programs must also evolve to prepare the next generation of clinicians and researchers to interpret and apply QEG in a responsible and effective manner. In conclusion, the journey of quantitative EEG, from the early galvanometers of Cotton and the string recordings of Berger to the high-dimensional, real-time analyses of today, reflects a broader narrative in medicine: the pursuit of objective, reproducible measures to understand and modulate complex biological systems. QEG stands as a model of translational neuroscience, embodying the convergence of physiology, computation, and clinical insight. Its potential continues to expand, not only as a diagnostic and therapeutic tool, but as a foundational technology in the era of precision brain medicine. Final remarks. Quantitative EEG is no longer a speculative or adjunctive modality. It is a rigorously developed, evidence-informed tool that provides high-resolution insights into the functional organization of the human brain. Whether used to guide neurosurgical decisions, tailor psychiatric interventions, assess developmental trajectories, or empower patients through neurofeedback, QEG offers a unique blend of temporal precision, statistical objectivity, and clinical relevance. As neurotechnology and computational analytics continue to evolve, the role of QEG will only deepen in both research and patient care.